Of course, anyone is welcome if they call in advance and make arrangements, because I can't always promise that I'm going to be here, unfortunately. Lee travels from coast to coast and I guess border to border.
And Canada.
And we were talking earlier that truckers, in my humble opinion, seem to represent, as much as any other group in this country, the average American working man, with one major difference. They travel through all of the states, all of the time, everywhere, and so get a feel of the mood of the nation and what's happening and how people feel and whether the prevailing attitude is of sheepishness or wakefulness or concern or indifference, etc. So we're going to sort of pull some of this information out of Lee's brain this afternoon, if he's willing. And if he's not, well, then we'll go into something else. But, where have you been on this trip, Lee?
Just came out of Canada, and I'm heading to California right now.
And what are some of the states you drove through?
Well, we went. We have a terminal in Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas.
Did you make stops in all of those states, or you go right straight through sometimes?
Sometimes I just drive, you know, my whole shift.
And how many miles can you make before you have to stop and take a rest?
Well, we're allowed 10 hours driving time, and usually the state's speed limit's what determines how far you can make the distance.
Well, now, I've ridden on the highway. I know that speed limit doesn't mean a thing to a lot of truckers.
Oh, no. No. We're
law-abiding, upstanding,
yes,
speed
sir.
Limit observers, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you do this for a living, of course, and you do it all the time. And you, what, work for, I think you said 35 days, and then you take a few days off?
Yeah.
And how many days off do you normally take?
About 5-6 days.
And is that at home?
Yeah.
Or you could take it off anywhere, though, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But you would usually try to make sure that you're home when you take your days off.
I do my projects and pay bills and visit friends.
Uh-huh. Are you married?
No.
Now, a lot of truckers are married. What kind of life is that for a married family?
For those that take their wives with them, I've seen some of the most pleasant relationships, that they really cared about each other and took care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. If you're having to leave someone at home, well, it just keeps you on the phone, and you feel like you're a lot of guys need to get back home more regular than others, but it's hard for most married couples that are being separated.
Okay. Yeah, well, you would expect that would be the case. Now, have you noticed a change in the attitude of the American people over the years? Has there been any change at all, or is it just still the same old business as usual?
Well, I see they're being broken down, is the best way I can put it. They'll see things going on wrong every day, and they're just becoming desensitized to more and more wrong, and they just will not react as if they would several years ago in the 40s, 50s, even the 60s. Now, crime's okay if you're sorry for it, you know.
Oh, Lord.
If somebody walks up and gives me a bag and says, "Would you hold this?" And then I'm standing here holding a bag and it's full of bank robbed money, cops come up and get me. They say, "Where'd you get the bag?" "I don't know. Guy just gave it to me." Well, they didn't ask the president, "Where'd you get the funds?" I'm communist Chinese, but I'm sorry. I'll give it back.
So people don't get upset like they should about things that they would have become absolutely raving, angry, and incensed about not too long ago.
No, we're doing business with them. You want to buy a naval base?
Of course, he's making reference to Long Beach, California. What is the what is the big subject of conversation at the truck stops nowadays? I mean, what are the guys talking about? The women, too. I notice there's a lot of women truck drivers now, a lot more than there used to be.
Well, we live in our own world to some degree, and it's mostly about the escalating involvement of the DOT. Texas is now really coming online. They're starting to open up scale houses that are going to be the same as, you know, other states. They were previously just spot checking type scale mashers, but they're now coming online with active way stations. And at this, they use that as an opportunity to sometimes just walk up, say, let me see your logbooks. They'll look around, see if there's anything they can find. And there are some states that I've had scale masters say, well, it doesn't make any difference if there's anything wrong or not. You ain't getting out of here without paying something. And sure. you'll get a ticket. And that happened, you know, in reality. I'm never usually behind on the logs. I do stay on top of that. I do take care of my paperwork. And
you were doing that when I found you today.
Yeah.
When I drove up.
So, increasingly, and the guys don't realize that, you know, the federal courts have already ruled that the states have the right to perform safety inspections anytime they want to. But they can't force you to, or they can't cause you to have to defend yourself in a court of law. Issue a ticket that you have to pay or appear in a court of law. They can issue warnings, they can shut you down, but the federal courts have already ruled it. We don't have time to stop and fight it. We don't have time to get a lawyer. And most lawyers don't know the Constitution in the first place, or they've never read, you know.
Oh, yes. Well, you're right. Most so-called law enforcement officers who are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of their state and of the United States of America have never read it either. I've often wondered, how can you take an oath to protect something that you don't even know anything about?
I don't know, Bill. The end justifies the means seems to be the mentality that I encounter. And
I wonder if they even think about that oath, or if they just in a hurry to pin on a badge and a gun and go out and hassle people.
No, they've got a mandate. They've got to keep, protect, and defend their departments and their state's rules. And, you know, it's bottom line. The guy stands up and says, well, wait a minute, guys. I can't go out here and start, you know, writing overweight tickets or whatever, you know. The guy's got rights. They're going to get rid of him. He's going to be in a patrol car in South Texas or something.
Well, there's nothing wrong with South Texas. I've been there. That's a pretty good place, as a matter of fact.
Way out there.
But I know there's some hellacious parties going down there on Saturday night, and when things get a little hot and heavy, but especially down around, what is it? What island is it?
Padre,
South Padre Island, yeah. This can be dangerous on Saturday night down there. Well, you know, a while ago I said, when I found you, I guess somebody out there is wondering if I was just driving, Andy and I were driving along, and he said, oh, look, we found a truck driver. So he called several days ago, folks, and said that he would be here today, and so here he is. Well, what is the What is the major concern? Are people concerned about what's happening to this country? Are they concerned about their freedom? Or are they just concerned about putting another chicken on the pot and making it through the next week? What are the priorities that you find across the country amongst the truckers and the truck stop people that you meet on a daily basis? And of course, these people represent a broad overview of the whole country because they're from the whole country. The fact that they're truckers means that they get to spread it around.
Well, we've got a change in the types of truckers. A lot of them had to go through schools and have worked for companies to get their training, and then they'll move up into the better companies. And so we do have a pretty much younger crowd, but there are also a lot of the older drivers that learned all of this the hard way. What's the mood? Same gamut as I see anywhere else. And if I had percentages on it, 10% are just out there, 20% are just out there having a good time. The 60% are really hardworking, conscientious, and law-abiding employees. And then 5% may know that things are not quite right going on, you know, nowadays. And then 5% aren't sure, and I'd say maybe 1 or 2% are actually doing anything.
You're one of the doers. You're spreading the word. You're talking to people, and what do they say? What do they say to you when you come up and bring up some of the subjects that we talk about on this broadcast?
Of those that have listened, or will listen, that don't just poo-poo you off right off, I know all this stuff wrong, they say, but gosh, what can I do? I gotta deliver this load. I got bills to pay. I don't know what to do. I don't know, you know, what can I do? Well, it's my hope and desire to maybe mobilize pastors of large churches, go in and teach them how to make their congregations, if they're good people are going to donate their time, to go in and teach them how to make the same effective efforts that are being utilized by the equal rights groups, the pro-abortion groups. These people are active. They're lobbying. They're on the phone. They're recruiting. Church, a large congregation of people, could make a heck of a difference if they would start in on their congressman, get to know him, make him listen, whether he wants to or not. You've got to, you know, get this man's attention one way or another, and that's either come up with enough people that you can put him out of office, or do whatever it takes to make him listen. And then it doesn't take but one or two that could really, really pull a plug on some of this stuff that's going on. Impeachment doesn't take much of a...
Well, the problem with impeachment is that it admits that people believe that the president is the one who's thinking up all of this stuff and causing it to happen, and that just isn't true.
Or federal judges. Now, we've got some awful federal judges.
Well, yes, we do.
The Ninth Circuit is terrible. The Supreme Court says, has gone against some of the oldest held, decisions, we've had in this country for years, and just the last 20 or 30 years. Anybody that ever reads the Supreme Court Reporter, lawyers are just sick about it. They're now allowing things and saying it's okay now. They're putting treaties above the United States Code and our Constitution. And that is clearly in violation of...
It's treason. It's a misinterpretation of Article 6, an intentional misinterpretation that allows them to do things that they know the Constitution would never allow them to do. And the mistaken idea that our founding fathers would write a constitution outlining in that constitution the only methods by which it could be changed, and then put a clause in there that says the president can sign a treaty with any other country, and upon ratification by the Senate, that effectively destroys the Constitution and throws it in the trash can, is absolutely absurd. You know, if they could do that, why set up the provisions for making amendments and such things as that? The fact is that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, always has been, and any treaty which is made outside or in excess of the restrictions that the Constitution brings upon government is an unlawful, unconstitutional treaty. You cannot have a supreme law of the land and then have a method by which you can circumvent it and destroy it with the stroke of a pen. That's the most insane thing that I've ever heard of in my life. And when you read the writings of the Founding Fathers, you'll find they had no such intention whatsoever.
When lawlessness abounds, you know, then criminals are going to prevail.
Well, that's true. And how can you expect... Now, I'm going to ask you this because you're the only one here, okay? I'm not picking on you.
Talk to the sink.
How can you expect the average man to obey the law when the judges sitting on the benches in the courts flaunt the law? And you observe police officers on a daily basis.
Don't get me started about that. I'll tell you about the police officers violating the law.
I see them doing it every day, violating people's rights, throwing out the constitutional protection of those rights, and treading over the lives of people and destroying them. And how can anyone expect anybody to obey the law when the people who are supposed to keep the peace and protect the law and defend and protect the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, are openly and in front of everybody throwing the law out the window and doing what they please?
I think.
Now, this isn't everybody. So
no, this is me.
This is, well, I mean, this isn't every police officer. This isn't every judge. But there's enough of them that it is of extreme, serious concern.
Let me predicate this first, because I was born and raised working on Dallas Police Department vehicles and equipment. The guys were always around our shop, and I knew those people. And I was, you know, a toddler looking up to those people, and I knew who was honest and who wasn't. And it was just such a rarity for the dishonest to ever come around, and he was rooted out real quick when he was discovered. Now, I think it's the other way around. But you ask about law and order, without a moral character or base, spiritual, if you will, there is no law and order.
Because everything becomes just another learning experience, and it's subjective whether it's right or wrong.
Sure.
It's up to the individual. Well, that wasn't wrong. I learned something from it, and I'm sorry, or maybe I'm not sorry, but, you know, who cares? Because I don't believe it was wrong in the first place.
You want a naval base? I'm stuck on that.
Well, I ask you that question because I know that you come in contact with law enforcement all the time in driving across this country, and at the scales is always a police car parked there, sometimes two or three. What are they doing? Do they ever come and search your truck?
Yeah, well, very seldom do DOT types ever do that. Now, the U.S. Border Patrol sometimes does.
You ever ask them what their probable cause is for stopping you and searching your truck?
Well, yes, customs will do it just because they'll want to.
You're talking about when you're actually crossing a border.
Yeah, when you're crossing a border.
Yeah.
U.S. Border Patrol, now, knock on wood, I have never been searched. The dogs, they'll run a dog around your truck and let them sniff.
That is a search.
And, yeah. But, you know, people forget. Since I am a truck driver and we're talking about this, the very fact that you see a sign says, all trucks exit now, here. And you know that's a weigh station. You know if you bypass it, you're going to get stopped. The minute you cross and roll up on top of that scale, they violated the law. The minute he reads...
The minute they've ordered you off the road for and you have committed no crime, and they have no probable cause to stop you then.
Well, they've got the right to perform safety inspections anytime they want to.
Nope, that's wrong. The Constitution for the United States of America does not give the United States government or the state governments any power to perform any such search. That is a search protected by the fourth article and amendment to the Constitution.
Well, I know it, Bill, but that's the latest court decision, and if I'm going to fight them, that's how I'm going to have to fight them. If I fought them by the Constitution, I'd give up, you know.
Well, then the Constitution isn't in effect in these courts. In fact, there are some judges that will tell you from the bench, if you cite the Constitution for the United States of America as a reason why you did something or why they can't do something or as a defense in a court of law, the judge will flat tell you, don't mention the Constitution in my court again. I have that on tape from several courts across this country.
I'm just wondering what they'd do if you just got up and walked out and said, well, I'm not going to play.
That would be an interesting proposition that I would like to see, to tell you the truth. Well, let's take a short break here. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away, and we'll continue this insane conversation in just a few moments. Hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Our people down in Phoenix specialize in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets, real money, real money. If you have never seen real money or dealt in real money, then you've probably been fooled to think that you have real money in your wallet. That green stuff said Federal Reserve note on it. Well, folks, it's not federal. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation. There is no reserve. And that's not a note. If you don't believe me, look up the definition of a note in any legal dictionary and you'll find out it's not a note. It's a scam. It's not a dollar either. The law defines a dollar as a specific weight in measurement and purity of silver coin or an equivalent value of gold coin. How about that? So that little green thing that you take out of your dollar and go down to buy a slushie at the Circle K with is not a dollar at all. It's counterfeit. It's phony, funny money. It could no more be a dollar than a quart can be milk, ladies and gentlemen. If you understand the significance of what I just said, then perform this simple little experiment. Take out a $1 bill, and if you have one, take out a $100 bill, or even a $20, or even a $5 bill. Lay them side by side. I defy you to tell me the difference. And if you can't tell me the difference, you're not dealing with money. You're dealing with pieces of paper that have numbers written on them that are worthless, worthless, worthless. You've been conned into believing that it's worth something. It's worth nothing. And if you want to try an even better experiment than that, call our friends at Swiss America Trading. Buy yourself a gold coin. I don't care, a small one. Buy a $5 gold piece. When you get it, you'll see it's really tiny. It's very small. $5 gold piece is a little bitty thing. Hold it in your hand, though. You'll see that it's heavy. It's also beautiful. And it can be used for real purposes. You can make jewelry out of it. You can use it to make the best electrical connections that can be made and all kinds of other things. It is a real commodity that has real worth. You know what else you should know about a gold coin? Gold does not corrode. It does not disappear over a period of time. Unless you lose it, it's always there. Always and forever. It will wear because it's a soft metal, but it will not disappear. If it wears, it will go back into the earth, and somebody will mine it out again at some future date. It just never disappears. Silver will corrode, but it takes an awful long period of time for that to happen. It also is a real commodity that has real worth. If you want to really see what real money is, take a silver dollar. That is a real piece of money defined by law. Hold it in one hand and hold one of those phony paper things in the other hand and tell me the difference. The difference is obvious immediately. In one hand, you've got a worthless piece of paper covered with ink that you can't even use to write notes on. And in the other hand, you have a real piece of silver that is recognized in every country by every person that lives upon this earth as real money, always has been, always will be. Sooner or later, the consequences of the use of this debt-based economy, where they create this paper, phony counterfeit crap out of thin air with a bookkeeping entry as a loan to somebody. You see, if somebody doesn't borrow money, money can't be created in this country. That's what's known as a debt-based economy. That's why we're perpetually in debt. That's why you'll never get rid of the national debt. You'll never get rid of a trade deficit. If everybody in this country wanted to go to their bank and draw out enough money to pay off all their loans tomorrow, the whole system would collapse immediately because the money does not exist. It never has. It's made as a bookkeeping entry. It's created out of thin air. It's issued to you as a check. You deposit it in your bank and write a check to somebody else. There is no money. It's a scam. And over the years, people who can't satisfy their debts get their property confiscated as collateral. And these people rip off the substance of the nation. That's why it doesn't matter how hard you work or how long you work or how good everything seems to be in this country. We keep getting poorer and poorer and poorer. No longer can one person work and support a family of five comfortably in this country. Can't be done. Everybody has to go to work. And if you don't, You're going to feel the pinch, I can guarantee you. And it's all because of the scam that they worked upon us. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did, ladies and gentlemen. Get your hands on some real money. Ask for the free newsletter. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time with William Cooper, and you'll get red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money, and then do it. Do it. Do it. And you don't have to be rich to do this. You don't have to have a lot of that phony paper to do this. They'll work with you. When the system comes crashing down, and it will, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have some real money, something that has intrinsic value of its own, you're going to be down the tubes in a ditch with no food. Your children will be crying and clinging to your legs and wondering, what happens, Daddy? And you'll bring out a wad full of those Federal Reserve notes, and people will laugh in your face, and they will not take them. That's what's going to happen when this system catches up with itself. Nobody has to do it. It's a natural end result of any scam. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Great weight will come off your shoulders, and you'll know that you've taken care of business. Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper, the man named by William Jefferson Clinton as the most dangerous radio host in America. If you listen to this program long enough, you'll know why. I wield the sword of truth, and truth is deadly to the enemies of freedom. Sorry we were on that break for so long, ladies and gentlemen. I broke my headphones, just broke them right off. So had to make an emergency repair, and that didn't work. So we had to quickly dig out another pair of headphones, of which I've got several around here. So it's no big deal. We're going to open the phones. If you want to talk to Trucker Lee here, then feel free to do that. If you want to bring up another subject, feel free to do that too. The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. And Connie, if you'll unplug your phone out there so that we can take these calls, that is, if any calls come in, We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about for the rest of these dose hours. I think it's dose hours. Is that right? Two is dose, I believe. Lee, I've noticed driving around myself that proliferation of truck stops that are now becoming shopping malls. They have pizzerias and Subway sandwich shops, and you can buy almost anything in the world in these truck stops. When did that start?
Well, it's
huge restaurants.
It's been improving for...
Wait a minute. You're not on. Okay, go ahead.
All right. It's been improving for several years. It's been a gradual improvement. Like I said, we do have a whole new crowd out there that are demanding different services, and I haven't been privy to the real statistics, but we're big business now. We're probably one of the largest voting blocks in the United States, if you could ever get two of them to agree. But you can get a whole truck stop full of truck drivers, and they're going to stand there and argue up and down that it's all wrong.
Yeah,
but
when it comes time to do something,
there's new services, you know, being demanded, and a lot of the companies are really, you know, reaching out to try and meet that demand, because there's a lot of us, and there's supposed to be, you know, I don't know how many X amount thousands more by the year 2000.
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I just got a copy of the New American, the one with McVeigh and the Murrah building on the cover. And I haven't read much of it yet, but it's shocking. It says that the government is ready to throw its case against McVeigh in order to, presumably, in order to protect whoever of them really did
blow up that building.
Yeah, McVeigh didn't do it all by himself. When you find a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get up there all by himself.
That's right.
And I don't care how big McVeigh's bomb was, he didn't cut those steel concrete reinforced columns with an ANFO bomb.
That's correct. And ANFO is listed in the United States Army Explosives Manual as a low-powered cratering device, actually.
It's wonderful for making holes in the ground.
Yes, it is. What else? What else did that article? What other points did that article make?
I didn't read but just that far, and I heard you come on, and I said it's more important to talk about it than to read it.
That's for sure. Have you read Oklahoma City Day One?
I've got a copy of it here. I've been pushing it every issue.
Oh, this is Glenn.
Yes.
I didn't recognize your voice. You said every issue, then it clicked.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the hour of the time, Glenn.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
And thank you for producing such a fine small-town newspaper, which is really, in my estimation, big city.
Well, for the benefit of your listeners, anybody that wants to get a copy of the New American, let them send in $2 for a sample copy to Box 8040, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54913.
Okay.
Let me give everybody time to go get a pencil, and then I'll say that address again.
Yeah, it's always good to repeat everything twice on radio.
Well, people don't listen to the radio with their pencil in their hand.
Oh, they listen to my show with a pencil in their hand. They've learned that a long time ago.
good move, then. Anyway, the address again is Box 8040, Appleton, APPLETON, Wisconsin, 54913.
Okay.
And if they want, for example, a whole information pack on some particular subject, like the McVeigh or the bombing or the World Order or Bosnia or any number of things, the best thing is just send in a $5 donation and ask for the information packet on that subject, and you'll get more of your money for it.
Great. Anything else, Lynn?
Oh, I got an endless supply of stuff, but I think that's enough for this one time.
Okay. thank you
for letting me on your show, sir.
Well, thank you for calling.
Bye.
Appreciate it. That's Glenn Jacobs, who publishes the Round Valley paper here, which is an excellent example of what all newspapers should be. Instead of presenting one agenda and never allowing anybody else to say anything or speak anything, Glenn gives everybody a forum. Makes some people in this valley very angry. But you see, they're the people who are really the Nazis. If they had their way, there would be no Round Valley paper, and nobody whom they disagreed with would ever be able to say anything. Anyway, be that as it may. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Scoop is Chuck Hatton from Richmond,
Virginia. Hi, Chuck. Can you speak a little louder? We're using a speakerphone here. We don't have our normal, you know, hookup, and you've got to exert some forcefulness.
Okay. How is this?
That's much better.
Okay. Just wanted to say, I'm right back on air. So, you know, from 9.955. Also, for the trucker, how does he feel, all the truck drivers feel about mandatory drug testing?
Yeah, how about that? We didn't bring that up.
Personally, I will submit to it for my company, but I will not submit to it any kind of forced, search by the police departments. To me, I'm maybe a little different. I don't mind. I'll sit in jail overnight. Some of them are just so afraid of causing any conflict that they will pay the fines. They know we've all got little ComCheck cards, and we can get thousands of dollars of fines authorized if the company doesn't want to lose the truck. To me, that is a clear violation of the Constitution, and
it's extortion.
Well, I'll tell them to shove it, really.
Good for you. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, sir. That's very much. So I'll let the message on the line, but thanks for what you're doing.
You're welcome. Mandatory drug testing, when mandated by the company, is a condition of employment. And at the time that you're being employed is when you have to make up your decision whether you're going to submit to it or walk away and find yourself another job. And because the company has the right, if they grant you employment, to ask that you agree to certain things, and if you refuse to agree to those certain things, they have the right to say that they're not going to employ you. And that's, companies have rights just like people. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, when did you come back on shortwave?
Gee, I don't remember. October, maybe?
Oh, my gosh. I thought you went off. I thought you were on satellite, and I was just going through the stations I happened to pick you up.
I've never been off the air.
You were on satellite, though. Weren't you, sir, for a while?
Listen to me carefully. Satellite is not on the air. Satellite is on satellite. I have never been off the air.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There are over 700 low-power FM stations across this nation that carry this broadcast.
Oh, I see.
And even before we started this network, there were low-power FM stations and AM stations across this country that carried this broadcast. And most of those we still don't even know about. People write us letters.
You up at a little after 5 on 9.955 on shortwave.
That's right. We split 5 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday nights.
Oh, that's great. Great. Well, that's funny. I'll be listening.
Where are you at, by the way?
Cleveland, Ohio, sir.
Great.
My name is Bill.
Okay, Bill.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You listen on shortwave, don't you?
Yeah.
Where are the good areas where you can pick us up on 9.955, and where are the areas that are bad? A lot of people want to know that.
Do you know what propagation is?
Yeah, I do.
Well, it varies from day to day. Some days, or yesterday, I couldn't pull them out at all in New Mexico. I've got a variable tuning antenna, quite sophisticated equipment, and a lot of digital processing equipment.
This is in your truck?
In my truck.
Yeah.
And so I can usually squeeze them out anywhere in the country, but We're at the bottom of the sunspot cycle.
Please don't squeeze me out.
You leave me alone or Andy will get you.
We're at the bottom of the sunspot cycle, and everything's fixing to start getting better from here on.
Well, good. Yeah, we went through a bad spot. In fact, that is a huge solar storm that fried a few satellites up there. One of them was one of the most expensive satellites that belonged to AT&T is now fried to a crisp, and I don't know if they're ever going to fix it or what's going to happen to it, but it's silent, and that costs a lot of money, a lot of money.
With all the games they're playing, I don't know, maybe they zapped it just to see if they could do it.
No, that really is what happened. We've got ways of finding those things out. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, Al in Clear Creek, California.
Hi, Al. Can you talk louder, please?
Yeah, this is Al in Clear Creek, California.
That's much better.
I hope your guess is wrong about 5% of the truckers carrying are doing something. The last time when I went out and went to some truck stops for a DV kid and handed out her booklets, Why Bankrupt America and Blind Loyalty, I was very well received by all the truckers. No one gave me a bad time or didn't want the information.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good.
So, and out here in California, you probably heard about BLM and their new gun laws.
Yeah, we did a broadcast on that not too long ago. In fact, we have stirred up a hornet's nest with this broadcast, and the BLM is starting to back down in places across the country.
Yeah, they backed down. Well, in California, here where I'm at, Northern California, they said they're not going to enforce their gun laws, but they're still there. First of all, they said they weren't.
Can you imagine the audacity and arrogance of a forest ranger who goes out on BLM land and tries to tell 5 or 6 hunters that he's going to take their guns away from them?
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think so.
But you know what is really funny is I received calls. My dad used to be have the gun range here in this area. And so everybody thought when he was killed that I took over. I didn't. But I received calls from people when BLM came out with this. And they were so upset, and how they able to do this, and we got to get them out. But no one cares about the Constitution, just about being able to hunt. I don't understand the people.
Well, I don't understand the people either, or I didn't until I started talking to them and found out they don't know anything about the Constitution. They don't understand the consequences of their actions or inaction, as the case may be, or their ignorance and their apathy, and yes, even stupidity. There's a large segment of the American public that has just become downright stupid. They've been so dumbed down and so propagandized by the Marxist, socialist, communist news networks that I think, personally, they probably have trouble going to the bathroom.
Yep. Well, the same people that called me and talked to me about BLM, I tried to talk to them because I rebroadcast you in the evening. Also, I take you and then rebroadcast you.
So where are you at?
Pardon me?
Where are you at?
Clear Creek.
You're Clear Creek, California?
88.1.
I know where Clear Creek is. Andy and I were just through there not too long ago. Well, I say not too long. It's the only vacation we ever took. It was a couple years ago. Since it's the only vacation we ever took, you know, in my mind, it's not too long ago because I remember every moment of it.
Well, this one's by Lake Almanor.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're ever out this way, you best stop in.
Okay. What's your frequency?
88.1.
88.1 in Clear Creek, California. Yes, sir. Connie, write that down.
Okay.
Please.
Well, I thought you had it.
Well, we may have it. I don't know. I'm just making sure.
Because it used to be 92.1, but another radio station boosted their power and came over the hill and just wiped me out, so I had to change my frequency.
Well, that's good. Yeah, don't ever try to fight them. Just change your frequency and go on about your business.
Yeah. But these same people that complained about BLM when I started telling them about what they're doing in our Constitution, they didn't even want to hear about it. You know, they could care less.
Well, you know why that is, don't you?
Well,
if they hear about it and they understand it and they know that it's wrong, they are then responsible to do something. And that's the last thing in the world they want to be, is responsible to do something.
Yep,
take a risk, hang their butt out over the cliff with mine. No, they don't want to be there. I don't want to be here either, but I know the consequences of my not being here is much worse than my being here. Thank you for putting up a station and broadcasting.
Pardon? I didn't hear that last.
I said thank you
for your
affiliate station.
Well, hey, I thank you. That's the least I could do. Hopefully we can do more. Do you have any idea when you're ever going to go out to Area 51 again?
I'm in the process of planning all the events for the next year, the conference, the Area 51 trip, maybe a few other things. That's all on the drawing boards right now. As soon as I get it all figured out, then I'll announce it on the air.
Great.
The last trip was a great trip, I got to tell you. It was just fantastic.
Well, we want to go, and we'll give you plenty of notice, but either next month or the month after that, we're going to make a trip to meet you personally.
Well, good.
Look over the area. Connie sent us one of those newspapers because you had the
Round Valley paper. Yeah, we send that out to people every once in a while.
Well, we after looking at that paper, we had to subscribe to it. We don't read anything else. That's a great newspaper.
I could just see Glenn sitting there with a big smile on his face after hearing that. I don't think you're the only one. I think other people are going to be subscribing to the Round Valley paper. I don't know how much it is for a subscription, but I'll find out from Glenn and let you know tomorrow.
I think it's $24 a year.
$24? Well, that sounds reasonable. $24 a year.
That's cheap.
Yeah.
When you figure they got to mail it and everything.
Well, it's not cheap. It's inexpensive.
Okay. The price is cheap. I would pay double that.
Yeah.
Well, if he ever has to raise it, don't worry. We'll still get it. God bless you, and we'll be talking to you soon. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your affiliate broadcast station of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And you say you did something. There's so many people out there scratching their nose saying, well, I'm just one lonely person. What can I do? Well, you just heard from one lonely individual person, and he did something. Just do something. My father used to tell me, he'd say, son, do something, even if it's wrong, but do something. And I never could figure that out until I got a little older. And then I understood exactly what he meant. You know, it's a sin to do nothing about anything, ever. I mean, it's okay to make a mistake if it's an honest mistake, but you got to do something to make a mistake even, don't you?
Well, it's like a program. It's free. They can tape it, give a tape away.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people do that, by the way. Okay, here we go. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm one of your broadcast affiliates.
What frequency and where?
Okay, I'm at 104.5 in Lehigh Acres, Florida.
104.5 Lehigh Acres, Florida.
Okay. Yeah, just east of Fort Myers, Florida.
Does Connie have that information?
I don't believe so. I haven't been up for long. I bought the satellite from your organization.
Uh-huh.
I already had the FM station put together.
Good.
I have a friend, Mike, you probably know. He's out in Florida here. He put it together for me, and, you know, he knows how to do all that stuff. And I just, you know, I'm glad to be able to do something, you know, for you, and I really appreciate
Don't do it for me. Don't ever do it for me. Do it because it's good because
that,
it's do it. Do it.
The thing is, I really appreciate.
You're not going to let me say it, are you?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't ever think that there's not a lot of people out here that really appreciate all you've done.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's just amazing. So thank you very much, Bill. And I just, I'm also a truck driver, but I'm local. And say hi to Lee there, and his fellow truck driver, and I'll let somebody else get in.
Okay, well, Lee's right here. You say hi to him.
Okay.
Good for you, buddy.
Hey, Lee.
You say you're in Florida, local in Florida?
I'm sorry?
You say you're local there in Florida?
Yes.
Okay, what kind of truck do you drive? What do? What do you haul?
Oh, I just drive a Mack, and it's just a straight truck. And deliver for a furniture company, and, you know, I just, I know how it is, though. I mean, I've driven for many years, and I know what you mean by, you know, the truck stops and the DOTs and all that kind of thing. And it's very draconian, and it's really scary, you know. And I don't think I'd want to get, you know, into an interstate driving situation like that because of, you know, you get into the records and you got to keep all your miles and you have to do all that stuff. And it's very police state kind of stuff.
Yeah, people raved at Hitler for a lot less than that.
I don't want to get involved with that. I don't know, you know, I just really respect you, Lee, and I really appreciate what you're doing, you know, and I'm doing the same thing. I tell the people that I work with, you know, I try to tell them about what's going on, and they laugh, and they, you know, degrade you, and they, you know, think you're a nut, and, you know, I just keep trying, and sometimes I get through, but most of the time I get a bunch of sheeple. And, you know, I just got to keep plugging away, and hopefully I can make as much of a difference as I possibly can. And that's why, you know, I got the FM, low-power FM unit and the satellite system, and just doing my best, you know. And
take back the airwaves.
That's right. From Ted Turner and all the rest of that motley crew.
Yep. Ted Turncoat. Communist News Network.
That's right.
Before you get away, I want to restate, you know, make sure that this is clear that, you know, there's a lot of us truck drivers that really care about doing things right, the right way, and you've got to realize, too, that there's a lot of policemen out there that care,
that's
and they're
right.
trying to do things right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're being clouded and overshadowed by the bad guys. It's hard to tell. And good for you, buddy. Keep on doing what you're doing.
I'll let somebody else get in. And thank you so much, Bill. And thank you, Lee. And we'll talk to you all later.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, you made a good point there, Lee, that it's not every one of my best friends is a highway patrol officer. And I have noticed that in this valley, there are some very good, conscientious, very polite police officers who work here. There's also a couple of pricks, but we won't talk about them.
Yeah, you got to stand up for the good guys, whether they're wearing a badge, whether they're not. And these guys are, you know, taking a beating with the rest of them. And they've got an awful job because I worked around in Dallas, drove ambulance. I was one of the first EMTs there in the Dallas area. And Friday and Saturday nights, I've been on shootouts, burglaries in buildings, running gunfights, and it's not a fun job. These guys really work, you know. There are good guys out there. You know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea about anything I ever say.
Yeah, well, the ditto here. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello. Sounds like Jackie.
This is Jackie.
I knew it was Jackie. Oh.
I'm teasing. It's a great show, and I wanted to say thank you. Is it Lee?
Lee, yes.
That's wonderful, and it's uplifting to hear, because I've always felt that if we could get our truck drivers across this country informed, I mean, that's a big force, and I think it's very exciting, and I wanted to know if it's okay if I plug my program tonight, Bill.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I'm having Anita Hogue on. And Anita Hogue is an expert researcher on the educational system. And I just wanted to encourage everybody.
You mean the Marxist socialist takeover of the minds of our children.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, the human resource development system. And so I just wanted to encourage everybody, in case some of our FM broadcasters aren't tuning in to me, to please listen in tonight. Because it's going to, I think, a very powerful program.
I think so, too. And I think that most of them are already carrying your broadcast, Jackie. It's like I told you last night. If you're a broadcast that normally didn't take calls and all of a sudden you start, it takes a little while to break the ice.
Yeah, I know that.
And it happened to me. I tell you, it's it can be pretty disconcerting when the first time you open your phones and there's no calls, you just feel like crawling under the pavement.
actually, I didn't. It just, as I said...
Well, I did, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, but see, I've already heard from so many of our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, by mail.
Uh-huh.
But I, honest to God, I thought there was something wrong with my phone. But anyway, I'll get off the phone and let somebody else call in.
You know how I finally broke the ice, Jackie? One night I was on the air and I wasn't getting any calls. I said, okay, that's it, I'm going to bed. I just cut the broadcast off about 10 minutes into the broadcast and went to bed.
I heard you do that one night.
And since then, my call board is flooded whenever I open the phones.
Yeah, actually, last night I was thinking of doing that. Well, if you're not going to call me, I'm going to hang up. But I didn't. So I'm going to get off so someone else can call in, and thank you, Bill.
You're welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Jackie's another lonely, helpless person who's doing something. Isn't it incredible? What you can do when you set your mind to it. It is. Most incredible. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, how you doing?
Good.
This is Vince from Ohio.
Hi, Vince. I thought you were on the way down here.
I'm coming, buddy.
You are? When are you coming? I'm
Another
waiting.
Week or two.
Another week or two. Okay.
How's things going?
Good.
That's good.
I'm waiting for my pasta.
Oh, I'll be cooking it. Don't worry. As soon as I get there. How's the weather around here?
Oh, the weather is just absolutely marvelous, but I can't guarantee that it'll be that way when you get here.
Yeah.
Because 7,500 feet, this shouldn't be. Should not be.
Yeah.
And we're all so thankful for it, I can tell you that. We've just had a wonderful Indian summer for the last week or two.
Yeah, well, it's a lot better over there than it is here, that's for sure.
Are you still in Cincinnati?
No, Youngstown.
Youngstown, that's right.
Yeah, south of Cleveland.
Yeah, okay.
I called in. I heard your guest on, and you know, I'm a deputy sheriff. If he has any questions,
I was just getting ready to say Vince is one of the good police officers.
One of the few. Now there's a lot out there. Most of them that I've run into, of course, everyone knows me because my mouth opens really wide when something goes awry down at the police station or out on a scene or something. And I mean, according to the Constitution and so forth, which every day there are so many things. The whole system basically tramples on the Constitution.
Yeah.
But you know, I try to wake up as many people as possible, and that's really, you might have a small percentage. You know, there may be 60% of the police out there, maybe for socialism, but to tell you the truth, probably only 10% of them really know why, and they're maybe diehard liberal socialists. The rest of them are just really mixed up, and they really just need woken up to what's going on. A lot of them are just, in a way they're kind of innocent because they really don't know what's happening. Out
yeah, there. They're ignorant.
Exactly. That's a nice way to put it.
Well, you know me. I can put it another way if you want.
I know you. I remember when I did your show, boy. You didn't give me any flack there. Ninth inning, you know, it's running too late. There's no more time to be nice anymore.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth.
Yeah, I sort of, during that broadcast, sort of pinned you for the actions of a lot of your fellow officers, didn't I?
Yes, you did, and rightfully so also. But there is, you know, there is that factor there that, you know, a lot of police just actually don't know. The ones that I really get upset at and end up screaming at work are the ones that really don't care. You know, when this thing came up, this domestic violence bill, no one cared when it affected the public. Then when they start to ask, oh, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me, does it? And then when I pointed to them that it did, then they got their tail feathers ruffled.
Yeah, that woke them up a little, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I'm happy that the law went through that way, you know, and I explained to them, you know, we should, you know, we're public.
public service, and we shouldn't have any other rights or privileges over any of the citizens, because we're citizens also.
That's correct.
And that's what they didn't understand. You know, they really, the problem is, the biggest problem with police today is the police academies. Nothing is being taught as far as constitutional law. They'll read over some of the amendments, and that's about the extent of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think that's the big travesty in law enforcement today. But we did have a, I don't know if your guest heard about it, we did have, I know truckers, news goes around, with the truckers better in a beauty shop, but, or a police station. I'm not going to pull myself out of this because police tend to gossip a bit too. But there was a shooting, here, not far from me. There was a truck driver, we still don't know the details, where, two Ohio State Patrol pulled this fellow over, and, he had a .38 on him, and it's not clear. A shootout began, and they're not sure, this is what they said so far, they're not sure if the trucker shot himself with his own handgun or he was shot by the troopers. I don't know, you know, I don't know if your guest heard about that or not.
Did you hear about that, Lee?
No. How recent was that?
Oh, maybe 4 days to a week. I'm not exactly. Yeah, I think it was about 4 or 5 days.
Okay, I just passed through that area. We've got a terminal up in the Detroit area. I know there are, you know, some people that do carry weapons to protect themselves.
I think it's a duty. I think every American should carry a weapon as a duty to protect our freedom against tyranny.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's another.
I don't want to tell all my secrets.
Moving in a trailer, and I started, you know, looking at the different laws, of course. And, you know, a trailer or an RV isn't considered a home in most states unless it's hooked up to, it's stopped somewhere, hooked up to electric and water. And, you know, if someone is sleeping, stops at a truck stop with their RV and, you know, loads a pistol to keep by their bed while they sleep, technically that's, you know, in most states that's, it's unconstitutional, but it's a statute that, you know, that's like having a loaded gun in a car. And you either have to have a permit if that state grants one, or, you know, it's an illegal, unlawful carrying of a weapon. And that's a shame. You know, I know it's the same for truckers because they sleep in their rigs a lot, too.
Well, it just amazes me that so many people don't understand the law. If you're between the ages of 17 and 45, or if you've been honorably discharged or retired from any of the military services until the age 65, you are a member of the militia, and the militia is required to keep and bear arms in every state.
Correct.
And nobody ever brings that up.
But we have to hide them from Vince or whoever. Knowing the law, as you apparently do you...
You wouldn't have to hide it from Vince.
I don't want to put the man on the spot.
He's not on the spot. I know Vince.
Mom, dad, kids, and the dog in the RV, or the poor truck driver that's just, you know, whatever shows up.
Yeah, you know, the shame of it is like, you know, when you move from a house, and I'm moving from a house and getting, like, a big trailer, good size. When you move into that, you know, that's your new home. You know, that isn't like a vehicle, and I don't understand how they can consider that a vehicle. You know, that's your new home on wheels, you know. And that's really awful to think that you can get pulled over, especially in Louisiana with what has been going on down there. You can get pulled over there, and they're going to rife through your house, basically.
Rife through it, my foot. They'll take it.
Yeah.
Confiscate it.
Yeah. but I'll let you go, Bill, and I sent you an email a couple days ago. I'll wait for you to write back. I asked you a couple questions.
Okay. Well, you know our computers are down.
Oh, they are? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, that's Lee. What does that office out there look like, Lee?
Computer junk pile.
Oh, my God. I'm kidding. Well, maybe I'll give you a buzz either tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
Listen, we're for you.
Excuse me?
We're for you. If... I'm driving along and I see one of you guys in trouble, I'm going to be the first to bail out. And
I didn't hear you.
I'm going to be the first to bail out, jump out, and help. I'll see one of you guys in trouble.
Before I get off, let me tell you a story real quick about truckers. And I've always had, except for a couple that have been like on my rear end a couple of times driving up in Michigan. I remember one time, a couple times I got helped by truckers. One time, I was hauling a mattress, and it was on top of a truck. and I'm driving down the road going about 60 miles an hour. The thing blew off in the middle of a busy freeway. I pulled over to the side. This trucker stopped about 50 yards behind me, ran in the middle of the road, picked it up, and carried it over. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I mean, that was really something.
Yeah, he risked his life for your mattress.
Yeah, you believe it. Okay, Bill, great show, and I'll be talking to you.
Okay, Vance, can't wait to see you.
You too.
And my mouth is watering. I know you make the best Italian cooking pasta dishes in the whole world.
Oh, you wait till I get there.
All right, I'm waiting.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And thanks for calling, Vince. That's Vince, my police officer friend, sheriff deputy friend. He does all of that stuff. And I got a whole bunch of friends in law enforcement. When we talk about the transgressions of law enforcement against the Constitution and the rights of the individual people in America, we're not talking about every police officer or every sheriff or every sheriff's deputy. We are talking about the ones who are helping to destroy this country by violating their oath, which they take without even knowing what it is that they're swearing to protect, and that just baffles the hell out of me. I can't figure it out. But anyway, 520-333-4578 is the number. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Bill Cooper. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, this is Charlie from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Nice to hear you back on shortwave again. We've missed you.
Well, here I am.
Okay. Quick question for you. Whatever happened to Veritas? Is it still in publication?
We lost our the staff that was doing the paper.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was... It was just one of those things,
okay,
and so now it took us several months to find somebody else who could devote the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Issue number 15 is being put together as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
The editor's wife just had a baby, and you know how that is, so that has delayed it again,
mm-hmm.
And we have had massive computer failures, which delays everything.
Oh.
I can't do anything until I get these computers fixed and back online. It just absolutely destroys a lot of our ability to do what we do around here.
Okay, well, that paper was just fantastic. Very, very good. And I just finished Oklahoma City Day 1. Very well put together. Have you started publication on number 2 yet?
Nope.
Okay, I'll be looking forward to that.
It's still in the stages of putting together the results of the investigation, analyzing it, and beginning to write the book.
All right, very good. Well, I'm currently going to be owning a satellite system, and I'll contact you when I'm ready to be online and be a broadcast station for you.
Fantastic. You see how this is spreading? I mean, people are just setting up these low-power FM stations all across the country. It's causing quite a stir right here in the Round Valley, this station, and we're picking up so many listeners. It just makes me feel so good.
Very good.
And I'm already hearing rumblings that the local radio station is very upset about 101.1 FM Eager and is contacting the FCC to get us shut down. And apparently he hasn't read the Constitution either. Because there ain't no way he's going to shut down 101.1 FM. And if the FCC comes to my door, they're going to find themselves in court being sued by me for infringing upon my rights to broadcast intrastate. You see, the federal government only has authority over interstate commerce. There's no commerce on 101.1 FM. It is a nonprofit community service station that does not broadcast across any borders whatsoever.
Very good. Okay, Mr. Cooper, you hang in there, and we're all behind you.
Thank you, sir.
See you soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
It's just amazing what you can do when you know the law, and what you can be intimidated into not doing or doing because you don't know the law. Most people live their lives in fear and just believe what they're told without questioning anything. It's just amazing. 520-333-4578. You find that to be true in your experience with people, that they just believe what they're told and do things because somebody else is doing it, or they've been told that they can do it or can't do it, or they should do it or shouldn't do it, rather than do the right thing?
Yeah.
Man of many words.
Well, the phone's ringing, so you just go right ahead.
Don't worry about the phone. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Terry from South Carolina.
Hi, Harry.
I heard you had a little bit of trouble. You talked about money back to my
No, I'll be on the air. It's the network that may disappear. Nothing's going to happen to the hour of the time. The hour of the time is sponsored by Swiss America Trading.
Yeah. Well, you'll still be on shortwave?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll still be on satellite somewhere, always, as long as Swiss America Trading supports this broadcast, and they always will.
Yeah.
But it's the network that's in trouble. Do you know how much it costs for a satellite transponder 24 hours a day, every day of the week for a year?
No.
It costs a lot of money, and I don't have enough broadcasters to pay for it. As usual, I'm eating it.
Can I send you $20 a month to help you out?
You sure can if you want to help out.
Yeah, I'd like to.
But if we continue to do this, we're going to have to put the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network in a charitable trust in order to be able to do that, because you can't operate it as a business on donations, that's for sure.
I sent it to Harvest Trust.
Yes, uh-huh.
Care of Bill.
Yes.
Bill and Care of Harvest. That's what I'll do then, because I don't want you to call. I can't stand it now when you was out here a while back.
Well, it's not me that would go off. Let me say this again. It's the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. It would be Jackie Patru, Michael Cottingham, Friday Night Live with Gary Bourgeois, and Chris Gerner. And we just signed up another broadcaster today who will be starting very shortly. And I think it's a once-a-week, two-hour broadcast on Thursday nights. Anyway, I'll let you know when I have all the details. But it'll be those people who go off the air. The hour of the time will not disappear. But see, they don't have sponsors, and the network doesn't have a sponsor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I caught fire up here. It's good for the first hour, but 6 o'clock, most of the time, it's a total washout, so yeah. I don't hear all of it.
Okay.
Sometimes, but I might have misunderstood it, but I'm glad to hear you anyway.
Okay. Bear in mind that 101.1 FM Eager is not a part of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. It is a station that that belongs to the Independence Foundation, and it's operated as a non-profit community service station. The Independence Foundation is a charitable trust.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to call and see you. Thank you. I'll be listening.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number if you would like to call and chat. Occasionally we just call and chat. So, what are you going to do when you leave here, Lee? Where are you going?
I'll go on out to the West Coast.
Where at, specifically?
L.A.
Los Angeles. Oh, my goodness. You really want to do that?
Actually, East L.A.
Oh, man. Every time I drive into Los Angeles, I don't care what part of Los Angeles it is, it's just, it's like utter chaos, and millions of cars zipping and going everywhere, and you just wonder if they all even know where they're going. I used to live there. I used to be a part of that. I used to spend 4 hours on the freeway every day, so I know what that's like, and it is horrible. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Roger out here in New York.
Hi, Roger.
And I called you a few weeks ago regarding the Basie reception. I did get a hold of WRMI.
Uh-huh.
And they have corrected the situation. You sound great.
Wonderful.
Great. It is very understandable. Hey, I wanted to be very brief. Can you stand a little humor?
Of course. I can always use a little humor.
Let's get this straight. A Chinese diplomat was asked by a pollster who he would like to see cloned, and his selection was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the basketball player. And the pollster asked him, for what reason, he said, can you explain why you would pick him? And he said, yes. He said, I would have the embryos frozen, and then any time I liked, I could have an iced Kareem clone.
Where'd you hear that? A nice Korean clone.
The
I bet you there's going to be a million cloning jokes now.
Yeah, there will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art Bell. Ever hear him?
Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, Art Bell is the imperial personification of purity and bullshit.
Well,
He is the greatest BS artist that has ever lived.
It sounds like he spent some time in Area 51.
Who?
Art Bell.
Art Bell's never been to Area 51. He goes out and sniffs the air and says he went.
Is that he thinks, intriguing, you know, he's got some crazy stuff on his program. I just do want to say that I enjoy you. I try to get you as much as I can. I don't have good reception all the time. I have to kind of watch the propagation. But lately it's been good, and I hope we get better as summer gets here.
Well, you will. In about 2 months, WRMI will have two brand new antennas, one beamed directly at Toronto from Florida, the other beamed from Florida across to Tijuana, and you will have no problems.
Hey, I'm in line with Toronto.
That's right.
I'm right in line here. I'm in western part of New York.
These two antennas will blanket the entire continent of North America.
Yes, it sounds like they will, yes. Hey, I'll let you go. I do appreciate you out there.
Thank you for calling.
You bet, sir.
And this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is beamed all over the world. They listen to this broadcast in Australia, in all of the countries in South America, and Central America, and the Caribbean Ocean, and Africa. And when these other two transmitters are set up, they'll be hearing us in Japan, and in England, and Europe, and Canada. Why? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's because the people of the world must know what's going on in this country. Because if we lose our right to keep and bear arms, we lose our freedom. If we lose our freedom, the world loses freedom. And everyone will go back in time to a point when everybody was owned by some emir, sultan, government, king, queen, or lord. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, is this Bill?
Yeah, but you got to talk a lot louder. Put your mouth right in front of the mouthpiece and scream if you have to.
Okay, Bill, can you hear me now?
That's much better.
Listen, Bill, this is Officer Bob. I want to know what all those American flags are doing here.
Officer Bob.
remember the night?
I remember that, yes.
It just tickled a fire in me. I like to fell out of the chair. First time. I've been miserable ever since you went off the air.
Wonderful.
And I just want to tell you to keep up the good work, and I'm fixing to call Annie and try to get some back issues of
Veritas.
So just keep it up, buddy. I'm going to keep track on you from now on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What he was talking, what he was referring to, ladies, when he said, I'm Officer Bob, what are all these American flags doing here, is referring to our last conference that we had in Oklahoma, in Norman. And in a tradition, our last night of the conference is a camp out. And so we were camping out by this beautiful lake, and we had this little pavilion there and had our tents and everything set up and had American flags everywhere. It looked we had more American flags than the Republican convention ever has. And so in the middle of the night, I guess it was about 2 or 3 in the morning, we're all sitting around the campfire, those of us who were still awake. A lot of people went to sleep. And we're talking and telling stories, you know, just having a good time around the campfire. Well, Officer Bob drove up. For a while, he sat out there and turned off his lights with his engine just idling and just watched us. And then after about 30 minutes, he got up his courage, and he stepped out of his pickup truck, and he came walking over to our campfire, sort of gingerly, and he wouldn't approach us at first. He walked around and looked all around, and then he came over, and he stood sort of in the shadow, and he said, "What are all these American flags doing here?" And I said, "Gee, officer, this is the United States of America."
Anybody that has all those flags has got to be suspect or something.
He said, "Oh, well, thought this might be a bunch of patriots out here."
Well, what I say?
So we told him, "Oh, no, there's no patriots around here." It was hilarious. And we spent the rest of the night laughing about Officer Bob and his obvious paranoia of American flags and patriots. It was incredibly funny. And was the perfect ending to a perfect week of being with perfect people and talking about important things.
You'd have been in big trouble if you'd had one of those black POW flags.
Yeah, we probably would have. 520-333-4578 is the number. I know the phone was ringing there for a while, and I didn't pick it up, but you can call back, and I will. But, yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, how, you know, where did that come from? Where did that guy come from? What was he thinking? What was going on in his mind? Where, what are all these American flags doing here? Good afternoon. You're on the air. Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Listen, Bill, I know how symbology is. I've been listening to you for a few years, and symbology means a lot. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about a couple of symbols associated with you. And two of them were, one is, I noticed on Behold the Pale Horse.
Uh-huh.
It's published by Light Technologies. It's got a little three on top. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, Light Technology Publishing is a new age publisher that publishes channeling and a whole bunch of socialist stuff, and they were the only people in the whole world who would publish my book when I didn't have any money to publish it myself, and the reason they wanted to publish it was because of the chapter on UFOs.
Oh, I see. Well, because my friend and I, a couple of friends of mine, we were talking about that. The other question I had is the symbol for the Harvest Trust.
Yeah, what about it?
What is it?
It's a sheaf of wheat. Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean,
do you know where that comes from?
Not right off.
Matthew 13.
Oh, Matthew 13.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's a little bit fatter than the sheet of wheat, so we weren't really sure. The interesting thing is every time I'm on my way home from work, I'm in North Carolina. My name is John from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And I don't get very good reception at home, so I listen to you on the way in the car. So I pull over somewhere before I get home, and maybe I'll give you a call. But last night, I called you the other night, and I was asking you some questions. And immediately after I called you, the sheriff came by to see if I was okay, if I needed some help or something.
Uh-huh.
And then after I hung up and drove down the road, about a mile down the road, I got pulled over by four local police cars. Something about my license plate being bogus or something. It was all nothing, you know. I was real polite, and they were real polite. But I was just curious, because tonight when I pulled over, as soon as I pulled over, a sheriff pulled up right back me and asked me if I was okay. So, I don't know, maybe they're keeping an eye on me, who knows. But,
or maybe they're doing their Gestapo routine.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, maybe they think that somebody who pulls over the side of the road is up to no good.
Yeah, well, they've been pretty friendly, you know, and a few of them are, a few of them I know, so they're, some of them are pretty conscientious about the Constitution and such, but keep up the good work, and hope everything goes well. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for calling. And thank you for asking that question. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have thought it but never had the courage to ask it. When I went to publish my book, Behold a Pale Horse, I didn't have a dime to rub between my fingers. And it was important to me that the book get published so that people could find out what was going on and have a chance to wake up and protect their freedom. And this New Age publishing house, Light Technology, was interested in the book because it has a chapter about UFOs, and that's one of their biggies, UFOs. And so they published the book. I have no interest in the publishing company. I get royalties sometimes from them. But basically, if you want to know the truth, they have stolen my book, ripped me off. Every once in a while, I get a little check from them. And for 2 years, they didn't pay me anything, and the book was in every bookstore in the country. Was even called the most stolen book in their inventory by Barnes & Noble. So the association with that publisher, for me, has not been good. But for the book, it has enabled the book to get out so that people could read it. And that, in my estimation, is important. Because nobody would have ever seen it if they hadn't volunteered to publish that book. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. This is Mark Reimer. I'm calling you from South Carolina.
Hi, Mark.
I enjoy your program. Listen to you whenever I can. Sometimes the reception here, and I live in the mountains, and it's not always wonderful, but I always try to listen. And I really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you.
And I was sitting here watching my Evening News tonight. And there's a county down here in South Carolina. You have to excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. But there was a man named Mr. Lewis, and he was a member of the Embassy of Heaven Church. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Well, they kind of say separate themselves from society a little bit. And he was arrested for not having a license and no insurance. And currently he is on a hunger strike in jail. But and they just had it on our evening news, and it was kind of a nasty thing. And it's just amazing that when people, you know, start taking life in their own hands, how the authorities come down upon them and kind of grind them in the ground, and how it's such a wonderful thing in the eyes of most people. It's just shocking.
That's because the system cannot stand to be challenged by individuality, especially socialism. Now, in a constitutional Republican government, which for a good portion of its history, this country was, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be a character. It's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be free. But socialism is in charge now, and that's not okay.
Yeah, well, this fellow was arrested about 2 years ago for the same charges. And after a few days, about a week in jail, they let him go. This time, they sink the panel, let him starve himself to death, it looks like. So.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I hope it won't, but...
But I got to tell you, I'd rather starve myself to death than live in tyranny.
Well, yeah, that's true. Hopefully, he can last 30 days. He's got a 30-day sentence. But here in South Carolina, there are a few of us, and we're kind of few and far between, but... We're here, and we're just hanging on.
Good for you.
And thank you for your program.
Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, according to President William Jefferson Clinton. Listen to that music forever. You just lay under a beautiful green tree on a sunny day like this and just listen to that. It would be nice if it came out of the clouds, wouldn't it? It's like movies. You know, you're watching a movie and the cowboys are riding across the valley and you hear this this orchestra in the background.
Yeah.
Well, it never happens to me. You know, I went out and rented a horse one time, rode across the valley. I didn't hear a thing.
I think of the Irish Fields in Braveheart or the Scottish Highlands.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it a fantastic movie?
I love it.
It's inspirational. Every person in this country who cares about freedom should watch Braveheart. That's one of my dear movies. In fact, I went and bought it every once in a while. When I'm feeling a little low or, you know, I just watch that movie and it brings it all back to me. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Hi, Bob.
Welcome to the airwaves once again.
Oh, well, I never left the airwaves.
I just learned about you not long ago, being on this frequency, and I didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
So I just started tuning in again in the last week or so.
Okay.
What I'm calling about is the Gulf War illness. I'm sure you're aware of it.
I was the one who broke the story several years ago, right after the Gulf War. I was the only one in the country who knew about it. I was the only broadcast that talked about it. I broke the story. I also broke the story about microorganism that was discovered by Dr. Nichols that has contributed to the syndrome and the cure. All of these things years ago.
I remember some of that. I have a lot of your tapes that I took off the air when you were on the other station.
Yeah. The general rule is, if you're hearing about something now,
no.
I did it several years ago.
No, I know that.
I know who Joyce Riley is, yes.
Yes, okay, I contacted her. I got several of her tapes, and we've been airing them on cable TV.
Uh-huh.
And passing them around, and we've got a Midwest Association started here in Milwaukee for the Gulf War vets.
Uh-huh.
Who wake them up. And I wonder if it would be all right for you to give Joyce Riley's phone number out over the air.
No.
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 Okay.
And I'll tell you why. She was, for a while, associated with a man.
Correct.
That man has been proven to be a 100% complete liar.
I see.
Most of the stuff that he said was not true. And unfortunately, Joyce Riley picked up some of these things, and some of the things that she's saying is not true either.
Okay.
For instance, have you researched the figures that she quotes as people who are chronically and even terminally ill with Gulf War syndrome?
Well, she said there was over 15,000 dying.
Well, that's the problem. So she says we can't find any of them. Where are they? Where are these dying soldiers? I've heard her and her ex-partner on radio talking about entire military bases that were afflicted with this disease, and that the base was absolutely ineffective and could not function as a military unit. We couldn't find one in that condition anywhere in the United States of America.
Okay. Well, all right. Anyway, that's what I wanted to find out about and possibly give out information if you wanted me to.
Nope. Nope. In this broadcast, we're only interested in truth, and if anybody's even speaking part of a lie, we can't be a party to that. You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I hate to say that, folks, but it's the truth. You see, we research what we hear here. Most of you hear something and you just pass it around and you never even check it out. And you discredit yourselves when you do that. And eventually, nobody listens to you anymore. The reason that this is the most dangerous radio host in America is because we deal in truth. That's what makes this broadcast dangerous, and that's what makes the rest of them not dangerous. And that's what you've got to understand. We don't spread rumors here. We don't say something is true if it's not. And everything that we say, we can prove. We have the documentation to back it up. If I hear somebody talking somewhere, like Joyce Riley and her ex-partner, about the Gulf War syndrome, the first thing I want to do, especially since I covered it before anybody else in the whole country even knew about it, is find out if what they're saying is true. What we found out was some of what they're saying is true. An awful lot of it is not. And unfortunately, can't be a part of this broadcast or this organization if they're doing that. Because we just can't allow it. Our job is to educate people, wake them up, give them sources and documentation so that they can check it out and prove it in their own right, which is the admonition we give everybody. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own right. And if you can't, my advice is don't do it. Don't pay attention to it. Don't get involved in it. If you can't prove it, right. And I mean all of it, not just part of it. All of it. Do you think that's good advice, Lee? Am I giving people good advice there?
Well, this whole movement is going to have to rely and stand behind truth. And those prevaricators of lies out there, whoever they are, I don't want to listen to them. I don't want them influencing other people. And so they're going to discredit the whole ability to try and save this country.
Well, that's the whole intention. of a lot of them. They're really not who they claim to be. They are working for the other side to propagate disinformation and lies and hope that everybody picks it up and thus discredit themselves. And by golly, it works. It's a counterintelligence technique that is practiced by all of the intelligence organizations of every country in the world. And the communists have perfected it to a T. And, you know, but I don't know anything about all of this, all of that stuff. I always spent a whole bunch of portion of my life in the Office of Naval Intelligence and really didn't learn anything about any of that kind of stuff at all. 520-333-4578. I think we have time for maybe two more calls, and then we're going to call it a day. And Los Dos Molinos is open again. Guess where I'm going for dinner tonight? Whew. I got a hot date with Annie over a hot meal at the Hot Los Dos Molinos. You can bet your boots on that. You want to come for a real good dinner?
I got to get it.
You got to get what?
I've got to get a good Mexican dinner.
Okay, you're coming to dinner with me then. 520-333-4578 is the number. We've got time maybe for one or two more calls. And then we're going to adios down the road to Los Dos Molinos and have some of that fantastic food. They've been closed for a while because the family, there was a death in the family. And that family is very close. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Kirk in Kansas.
Hello, Kirk.
And
it's not Cap.
A short while ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were talking about how to form a militia and how to set one up and how they function. And I thought you said you could find that information in United States Code Title 10, Section 13, Chapters 3 through 15.
What you can find is the definition of the militia under the law.
And how to form one and how to join one and whatnot?
No, that just defines the militia in the law.
Well, you know, I read that and there was only one part of that that had anything to do with the militia, and that was Chapter 13, and that defined who could not belong to the militia. And I was wondering if there was some other place I might look to.
No. You must have misunderstood something in the broadcast, because we cited several points in the United States Code. One is the definition of militia and who belongs to the militia. Another is who can't belong to the militia. And another extends the time limit or the age limit for militia members who are honorably discharged or retired from the regular military service. Yeah.
And I was looking how to set one up, but we don't have one here.
The law doesn't tell you how to set it up. The law just defines what the militia is and who belongs to it.
Okay, I misunderstood
you. You have to go into the history and tradition of the nation, beginning before the nation was even founded, before
right.
the Revolutionary War.
Right.
Study that, and that will give you all the information that you need to know. Did you know that the Civil War was fought mainly by militia? Do you know that almost every war in the history of this country was fought mainly by the militia?
Yes. I've studied the Constitution pretty close.
Oh, those nasty militiamen, those white supremacist, terrorist, constitutionist, fundamentalist, Christian, what else do they call us?
Well, they call us separatists, they call us racist.
And all lies. I'm part American Indian, my wife's Chinese, and yet the LA Times labels me a white supremacist, the New York Times labels me a white supremacist, the Arizona Repulsive called me a white supremacist, Jesse Jackson on the Communist News Network called me a white supremacist.
Makes a lot of sense, don't it?
What liars they are.
That's the way they operate, on fear and lie.
That's right.
Have a good day, Mr. Cooper, and the best luck to you.
You too. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Some of the best militias in the country are black militias, headed by black militia leaders. The leader of the Ohio Constitutional Militia, made up of all different races, is a black man. The Second Continental Army of the Republic is made up of Orientals, Jews, blacks, Native Americans, and white Americans. And I am one of the ranking officers of that militia, ladies and gentlemen. I am the director of the intelligence service for the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia. And our only purpose is to protect and defend the constitutions of our states and the Constitution for the United States of America and freedom for all Americans and thus the world. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. And may God in his infinite mercy save this republic. Don't forget to tune in 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for the Jackie Patru program, immediately followed by Michael Cottingham with Quest for Help. This is the Voice of Freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kHz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
We now return you to All Oldies, Most of the Time.